set to go? Well, we're going to make it easy on Jesus Christ if he comes back tonight, because we're already gathered together, aren't we? It's pretty good. Thanks, honey. That was great. Good stuff. You know, my teaching is called After the Gathering. And it's going to be a short teaching. But mainly what I wanted to do was I wanted to kind of whet your appetite. Most of us, if not all of us, know that this administration ends with what? The return of Christ, the trumpet, right? The trumpet's going to sound. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to be gathered together. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and so on. And it says, so we'll be forever with the Lord, right? That's what's going to happen. That's how it's going to end. But can anybody tell me what's going to happen after that? You know, have you thought about what's going to happen after the gathering? So we're not definitely going to look at, we're not going to look at all the things of God's words. There's a lot. We could spend a lot of time on it. But I'm just going to whet your appetite with a few things. And as we look at these two things, because one thing we're going to be is we're going to be all together. See, we're part of the body of Christ, and we're never going to be apart. We're going to be forever with the Lord, the head, forever after that, okay? Now we have to say goodbye, you know, when the holidays are over and everything, but it's not going to be that way afterwards. So that's one thing that's for sure that's going to happen. But as we look at these things about after the gathering, I want you to, the first thing to consider is something that is going to happen after the gathering. And the second question that I want, or thing I want you to think about is, does what I do today have any bearing on that thing that happens after the gathering together? Okay? Does anything of what I do today have any effect on what we're going to read happens after the gathering? Okay? Because it's so easy to think that our life is lived, you know, is detached from what happens in the future, from what happens today. Okay? So let's just see. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, where we were right in 4 there. So just back up a couple of chapters there. Ephesians 2. In verse 4 it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together." Hey. Doesn't that sound like the one body? "Set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Who did this? And he did it by our great good works, right? No, by grace. And then here's why he made us sit together in the heavenly places. The next verse tells you the purpose. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." So that's something that's going to happen after the gathering together. God's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Does anything we do today have any effect on that? Nope. That is all God's grace. If anything we did today had any effect on that, then it wouldn't be grace, right? So that is one thing that's happening in the future that is just God showing his grace and showing us even more kindness in Christ Jesus. Wow, what a great God. What a wonderful Father that he would decide to do that for us. In 1 Peter, let's go there. So that's a thing that's happening after, and the ages to come, okay? We're living in this age. Now, age in the Word of God is used as an indeterminate amount of time, right? It's not set any limits. So it says the ages, plural, to come. What's going to happen in the future? God's going to continue to show his exceeding riches of his grace. In 1 Peter 1:13, it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end," or hope completely is what it really should read, "for the hope, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So you think we've been saved by grace now? But there is grace to come too. Okay. Favor. We are so favored as God's people, as born again ones, as the body of Christ. We are highly favored. In fact, that verse that's used of Mary, you know, when the angel appeared, you are highly favored. is used of the believers. Okay, we are highly favored by God. Now, that is a great place to be, every single one of us. Okay, our lives are just so valuable to God. God calls us his inheritance. You know, so that's something. Oh, speaking of inheritance, 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." So this inheritance, do we have anything to do today that's going to affect this inheritance? Does it say anything about that? No, because if I could do something that would make it corrupt, then it wouldn't be incorruptible, right? If anything I did made it defiled, ruined the inheritance that I'm going to get, then, it wouldn't be undefiled. But this is our inheritance that God has reserved for us with our name on it, reserved where? In heaven, is incorruptible. Nothing we can do or not do will change that inheritance. Now, that is amazing. Okay, you know, if you have an inheritance in the world, you know, somebody could write you out of their will, right? But in the inheritance that God's going to give for his children, it's undefiled, incorruptible. Nothing can affect it. Okay, so here's another thing that's going to happen after the gathering together. We're going to get an inheritance. Nothing we today can affect that. Okay, let's look at another record. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 1, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house," in this section of scripture, earthly house is used as a metaphor for our physical body, okay? "If our earthly house or our body of this tabernacle were dissolved," in other words, we die, "we have a building of God, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens," okay? So we're going to get a spiritual body when Christ comes back, like unto his glorious body, it says in Philippians. "For in this we groan," in this physical body we groan, "earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house," or our new body, "which is from heaven." You know, I wished I had my new body today. You know, my knees groan sometimes, especially. No, they don't. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, dead. We're going to get the new body. We're not going to die. Because you know what? If Christ came back today, we put on what? Immortality, right? The dead put on incorruption, the living put on immortality. So it would be great if he came back tonight. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also has given to us, unto us, the earnest, or the down payment of the Spirit. That's how we know we're going to get clothes, because we can speak in tongues. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Okay? As long as I have this fleshly body, I know Christ hasn't come back yet. Okay? For we walk by faith, or believing, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That would be the more desirable condition. Out of this body, having our new immortal bodies. Wherefore we, here Paul referring to Paul and company, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. So Paul and company, the other ministers with Paul, they made a point of living their lives that they would be accepted of Christ, whether it was in his presence or whether it was right now while they were waiting for their new body. For, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So here's something that's going to happen after the gathering together. How many of us are going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ? All of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And it says, and then we're going to receive in return for the things which ye have done, whether it be good or bad. So now we have something that, while, you know, it, the things we've done while in this physical body are going to, there's going to be a receiving in return at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, and so now we have something that this life all of a sudden has an effect on what happens in the future, right? After the judgment seat of Christ, something that we did today has now has an effect at that time, what happens, what we receive or don't receive, right? Now, before you get all afraid, let's look at what this is really talking about. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Here, Paul is referring to labor that he and Apollos did among the Corinthian believers. And, you know, and this is perfectly like the way Julie taught about how different people function different ways in the body of Christ. And here it says in 1 Corinthians 3, I have planted, verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, okay? So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Paul and Apollos both functioned as ministers to these believers. They did different things, but the greatness was to be attributed to God, what he did, okay? Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to what? His own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and other builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try or test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward, or he shall be compensated. That's what the word reward means. He will be paid back for the labor that he or she has done. Okay? Every man will receive a reward if it stands the test of fire. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be what? Saved, so as by fire. You see, our salvation is 100% guaranteed. It's guaranteed on the merits of Christ, okay? Well, we are absolutely saved, like we read in Ephesians, no question about it. So the only thing that is tried at this time, and this is at the judgment seat of Christ, the only thing that is tried or tested is the work that we've done, the labor that we've done, okay? If that labor that we've done stands the test of fire, it says we get compensated, we get rewarded for it. If it doesn't, gets burned up. Okay, that's what it's talking about. So now we again, you see that the way we live our lives today has an effect in things after the gathering. In this particular category, right? When it comes to the category of reward, what we do today has an effect on those things. Okay. Now we can get into all kinds of details about it, but we don't have the time to. But you see, I just wanted to give you a little. Wet the whistle so you can look it up in the scriptures and find out exactly what kind of labor is profitable. You know, what should I be doing? Well, one of the things we talked about, certainly labor where we think less of one another in the body of Christ, and we, you know, or we lord it over people and we think we're more important than somebody else or whatever, is not the kind of stuff that's going to be profitable. Okay. In Romans 14, it says in verse 10, but why do you judge thy brother, or why do you set at naught, or make your brother seem like he's nothing? Now, this doesn't sound like one body thinking, does it? Okay. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So this is an after the gathering together. And we're not going to be accounted for our sins, because those have already been forgiven. All of our sin, I mean, no, we're not going to give account of that. We're going to be blameless We are blameless today. It's because the scriptures say, not going to, it's just the simple works. Here's a work I did. Yeah, that doesn't suit. Burnt. Okay, that's it. Here's a work I did. God, it says, and every man will have praise of God for that. You know, every person will receive some praise for the work that they did that stands that test of fire. So there we go. See, it makes our lives today very meaningful. You know, it makes our what we do today very important, because there is a ramification in the work that we do today in the body, in the service in the body of Christ later on after the gathering together. Well, let's look at another one. 2 Thessalonians. We're almost done. 2 Thessalonians. I like to think about that because, you know, sometimes you do things and you might just not understand if they're, you know, you might think they're just mundane actions you do in life, you know, or nobody cares or nobody even appreciates what you do. But when you do them with that love of God and in your heart, when you do them in service, it says all labor is not in vain, you know, in the Lord. It is profitable. It will receive a reward in the future. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it says in verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to obtain the glory and share the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we as born again ones, it's Christ in you, the hope of what?
Glory.
Glory. See, when Jesus Christ was tempted on the earth by the devil, it says he took him up on a mountain and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, okay? All the glory of them, all the, with the word glory are things like honor, power, light. It's a word that encompasses many things. He showed him all that and he said, you can have all this if you fall down and worship me, right? Well, Jesus Christ got much more than that. He got authority over not only the kingdoms of the world, but the heavens as well, as a result of being obedient to God. So glory, we're going to get to share that glory of our Lord Jesus Christ in the after the gathering, some point. Now, did we have anything to do with that? No, we just accepted the invitation. We accepted the invitation, we got born again, nothing can touch that. We're going to receive that kind of glory. We're going to share in the glory with our Lord Jesus Christ. What a fantastic reality that is. So again, you know, these are things to think about. What's going to happen after the gathering? Look at 2 Colossians chapter 3. In verse 1 it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, okay? Here's a good suggestion from God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. You can, you know what you set your affection on, your mind, what you think about all the time, put your heart into. Where does God say to put our heart into? Things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God, okay? For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him, what? In glory. Now, that's pretty amazing. You know, pretty amazing. That's going to happen after the gathering together. We're going to appear with him in glory. Okay? Here's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll finish off here. So, these are just like a few of little tidbits. There's so much more, by the way. I mean, there's so much more. But I encourage you, as you're reading the scriptures, search the scriptures and see what God's word says about what's going to happen after the gathering together. And it's a thrilling search, you know, because you every time you learn something, you get to know the future. See? And knowing the future about anything is a great advantage. You know, You know the future about something, then you can make decisions today that are going to be beneficial. So knowing the future is really great, and God's word reveals the future, you know, with certainty of what's going to happen. And so here's one just to close off with. In 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall," what? "Judge the world." Hey, that's going to happen after the gathering together. The saints are going to judge the world. Okay. Some point. "And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not," well, if judging the world wasn't enough, "know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Okay. This was an encouragement to the Corinthians to, hey, you know, get over the petty stuff in this life, guys. There's much more bigger things coming in the future. You know, get over the petty stuff of dealing with, you know, taking each other to court and getting all upset with one another. You're going to be judging the world, and you're going to be judging angels. And who qualified for that for us? Christ did. Okay, Jesus Christ did that by putting his spirit within us, and all we did was accept the invitation, and he gave us all this that's coming in the future. There's some things that are coming in the future we absolutely today have no control over, it's God's just going to do them out of the goodness of his grace and his mercy and love for us, his blessing. And there are things coming in the future that we certainly have. Our lives today and the way we live will impact what happens in eternity for us. And so it's up to you, each person's decision, how we live our lives. But it's like I said, it makes our lives, as we function together in the body of Christ, together with one another, every little thing that we do in caring for one another, every little thing we do that God's word exhorts us to do in building up and edifying the body of Christ and walking in love, reward in the future. It has an impact, you know. It's worth it. It's worth doing, because this life is not a detached life from the life that is to come. Okay. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word, and thank you for the realities of the future, the great reality of being part of this wonderful body of Christ. What a joy to live together and function together and take care of one another, Father. What a blessing it is to receive one another and enjoy the blessings that we share together as the body of Christ. And thank you, Father, for all the great things you have in store for us in the future, Father, by your goodness and your grace and mercy. And help us, Father, to walk each day to the best of our abilities, to function and serve as you've called us to, and not limit you in any way, Father. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.